All right, we were talking about the father-son relationship and how that is meant to affect us. And as I was meditating on that point, and I didn't even write down the scripture, but it was on the way here. It was when the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." I'm sure they're good Jews. They go to the temple on a regular basis and all this kind of stuff. So they knew and heard many, 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 many prayers. I was telling somebody, someone said to me, "Randy, I heard that you are a Jew," which Nussbaum is German Jew. "I heard you're a Jew, you know. Did you live like a Jew growing up?" And I said, "Are you a Jew?" And I said, "Well, Jewish." Yeah, well, that's good. Anyway. They heard lots of prayers and things. And I know people who can pray really well. I have, over my years, I've heard people that were just incredible prayers. In fact, at a particular church that I went to, which I was assistant pastor with J.W. and he was the pastor, he always called on this guy to pray because it was just like, it was just so beautiful. I've heard other people pray and they're sincere. I've heard beautiful. I've heard all kind of ones. But I think that Jesus's prayer probably was the most real prayer, because he was really talking to his father. Amen. You know, that it wasn't a religious prayer. Mm-hmm. And I think that I learned in Jamaica with poor Jamaicans who, you know, didn't have much, and they, some of them, particularly one lady, would pray, and man, she knew the Lord. So I think that maybe what precipitated the disciples saying, you know, "Lord," you know, after he prayed, "Lord, teach us. Teach us." And of course, that's when Jesus said, "When you pray, pray our Father." Our Father. And so, as I was thinking about it in the car, and I didn't have a chance to really do much with it, but I started thinking about that reality that Jesus said that, and it just came to my mind before I could even list anything, that there are a whole lot of reasons why Jesus would say, "Okay, here's how you pray, our Father." Because if you get that wrong, it almost doesn't matter what else you say, because you're not going to the... going about it the correct way. And here's what I mean by that. Most people that pray that I'm aware of, when I hear them pray, are praying to Jesus. And yet if you go through the New Testament, you'll find that, I mean, I'm going to just go with the vast majority without saying every prayer. The vast majority of prayers are to the Father. Through Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And so I was thinking about some of those things, adding those into the list that was going on in my head as I was thinking, there's so many reasons why Jesus would say, "Pray our Father." And of course, the first one is "our." He is not just to be understood as a religious God. And that blows people away. He's supposed to be our Father. A religious God. and it be leading toward religion instead of heart issues and relationship. And therefore, there's not a lot of father in it. There's not even missing the fact that the father should be addressed. And Jesus said, when you pray, go to the Father. Because he's not widely known as our Father. He is more widely known as a religious God. And how do we relate to him then if he's just a religious God? We miss a whole bunch. I did get to jot a few things down. I put Jesus holds that all flows from the head. Jesus isn't going to say, pray to me. There's someone above me. It all flows down from the head.
Right.
I mean, that's innate in him. Mm-hmm. And the way that he flows and the way the Holy Spirit flows in that relationship of the Trinity. And that's not just a thing of prayer. It's not just a thing of prayer. It's a thing of God's order to reach us the best way. Okay? One way could be Jesus says, well, I'm just going to be, and this is the way the hippies a lot of times view Jesus as Jesus is my friend. I'm going to sit down as your friend and I'm going to teach you. Okay, well, that's fine, but you're not going to get very far with that. The disciples didn't when Jesus walked with them, and, you know. But if the Father is here and then all that's him, he says, I'm one with the Father, and flows down into him and then the Holy Spirit and then it flows into us, then it's all that is there can literally flow into us through that order. It's the best way. It's the best way for us, you know. And but there again, if we miss that order, we're working outside of it, and then we're not really, we could say our God instead of our Father then, or just help me, you're my God, instead of you're my Father and you're in the order of this, you know. I mean, even Jesus says, you know, when, at the end, the kingdom will be, you know, given to me, and then I will deliver up the kingdom unto my Father, and God shall be all and in all. Now, just think about the process of what that's saying there. It doesn't say the Father will be all. It says God. I'll deliver it up to my Father and God. And that order will prevail. That will be the government. And then, of course, he said, the scriptures say a lot about when you pray, pray in Jesus' name. So what do we do? Well, the easiest thing we do is we just always say, in Jesus' name. You know, without having any real idea about that, we just quote that because we make it a religious mantra. The other part, the other way we approach that is that we attack that in a sense of what does it mean in Jesus' name, you know? And so we're gonna really study this thing out. But to me, Jesus, and you get that in Philippians, we quoted it last class, that he made himself of no reputation, that he didn't think it was a thing to be equal with God. He humbled himself and became as a man. That spirit was in him. He didn't become something different other than physically. He still has that nature. And that nature is that you don't put yourself first. He declares the Father declares the Son, the Holy Spirit declares the Son. You know, that flow of the Godhead and that self-giving and that always deferring, always always taken the lower seat. I mean, I think that some of us might be proud that we can remember a time we took the lower seat. Yeah, well, but I mean, I can see that. Well, along with that, this kind of out of what we're talking about here, but I was thinking about the judgment day, you know, and that some people are looking forward to judgment day so that they can have all the people that did them wrong or that were da-da-da-da, and it can be a day of for them to say, I told you so. See, I kept my mouth shut. I was humble. But now, judgment day is my opportunity to tell you all, I told you so. And yeah, I appreciate some of you shaking your head because that is deeply, deeply sad and off and wrong. And it also declares something about the person because it means that they never did humble them. They might have held their tongue, but they didn't hold their tongue in their brain that talks. You know, there's the talking that goes on here, you know, all this kind of stuff. I just saw that there are, this is actually, I know that it's true. There are some people that's what they think the judgment day is going to be about. And if they do that, God's going to judge them on a completely different basis than they thought what judgment day was going to be. He's going to say, what? Where is my son? And therefore, with these actions, where was my son at any point in all of that? You're still, you know. And really, as I meditated on it, anybody remember a book I wrote called Troubles and Trials? Stumbling blocks or stepping stones. I was pretty young when I wrote that book. It's one of my earlier books. But what I saw was that the troubles and trials of this life can be either stumbling blocks or stepping stones. And if they become stepping stones to gaining the nature of Christ, then they're not stumbling blocks. They're only Jesus is only a stumbling block to people who don't believe in him or that resist him. Right? So they are our workers, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, 3, 4. And, but see, remember this up here, mind of Christ or mental theology? We can have these theologies and think that it's all correct. But our mind, our mind has, it'll take things and it will never let go of this or that. And it's stupid to preach let go. I mean, you understand what I mean. I've preached it, but with this emphasis, just like you emphasize. Unless it's the mind of Christ, we're going to hold on. See? And if it's the Son formed in us, then we'll relate to the Father correctly. Yes. I mean, that's the key. That's the kicker. Just being born again doesn't assure that, does it? Because we all got junk that still goes and still runs and still this and that. And this is it. Now, this is just a little bit of me and where I'm at in the Lord. If we are not as close to the Lord as we think we are, those things, we're numb to them. Yes. We don't know how far away we are. We don't know we're a prodigal son. We think that we're taking the Father's goods and, you know, having a little fun with him too. But, you know, we don't realize what is allowable of spite and anger and all the things that go along in us because it's not the Son. But we think our mental theology is that we're okay. Okay, now here's the deal. Let me say this. It's not about being okay. In other words, we can say, but I think I'm okay. It's not about being okay. It's about Christ being formed in us, the Son being formed in us. And if that Son is in us, then our fathers, which I'm not talking about the Catholic prayer, but our times when we say our Father, it'll be all of our Father. And that's why the Father spoke to the elder son and said, you know, your brother. It is right, it is fitting that your brother, you know, we rejoice together because he was lost and you need to feel this way, but you don't feel this way. You feel anger. You feel, you know, all, I don't even know what all, you know, I really don't. I mean, I got my own things, but I don't usually go where most people go. You feel all this stuff. This isn't right, unfair, and, you know, well, then God's unfair, then the Father's unfair, then, you know, and then heaven's unfair, and then, well, where can you go that you can find people like you? Well, hell. No, I meant, well, hell, I don't know. Not really. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. I've been wanting to say that for years. All right. And then when you pray in Jesus' name, you're acknowledging the one that you're one with. But you won't acknowledge that if you're not one. You'll only acknowledge that truthfully because it's not just saying in Jesus' name. It is saying, I'm incorporated into this Jesus. I'm thinking about the one that I'm joined with. You understand? I mean, I'm not asking this on my merits. I'm not coming to you based on what I think I deserve or don't deserve because I'd be in a lot of trouble. You know, I'm coming in another. I'm coming in another. And I'm of this other. And I have his name. And I can use his name not because I'm worthy, but because he is. And it's an acknowledgement of something, you know, that should be acknowledged. That's the best way to say that. That maybe we haven't been. And then, of course, as I mentioned, I wrote the father-son relationship is what we entered into. So that's why, you know, that's why it's our Father. See, we didn't just enter into heaven, or we didn't just enter into Christianity, or we didn't just enter into salvation, or we entered into a relationship that was eternal from before the foundation of the world. Okay, well, that's a mind blower. Okay, so how are we little finite creatures going to enter into that has been from before the foundation of the world? Only through Christ. Only as his heart is my heart and his mind is my mind. And that takes a while to begin to see the heart of the Father through the Son's eyes. And so We say, Father, I want to know you. And I even do a song that says that. But you know that song? The song that I do and talks about rest. And it says, I just want to go up into the mountain. And I just want to go by the still river. And I just want to rest with you, Jesus. And that's what it's a very nice, easygoing song. And then all of a sudden, it rises and says, take me to the Father. And it's someone who's not at rest. They are, but they have rested in Christ at that place, that place of rest where they were seeking, and didn't realize once Christ got in them and was really there, it would be, oh my God, take me to the Father. And then the word just keeping that song, take me to the Father. You know, because that's the automatic of, if you're really going to rest in Christ, you're going to end up with the Father. If the bride is going to rest in Christ, she's eventually going to have her emphasis the Father. Does that make sense? Because a husband and wife would honor his Father. Isn't it funny? Because you're going, Jesus, you're everything. And Jesus says, well, I've got something that's everything to me. You know, and it draws your heart out. See, these are not head things. You can dig around all day to try to put stuff in your head, and you'll never get this kind of stuff. Let me make sure I got, all right. And then I put, we don't pray to Jesus because he's our life. That'd be like praying to ourselves. Let me think about it. You know, he is our life. We're praying to the Father through the Son. And the Father is acknowledging us because it's the Son. And that's a remember what I said up here? There's a whole lot of reasons Jesus said, when you pray, pray our Father. But all of these things, even though I made a little list, can't be listed. It has to be relational. It has to be the process. I mean, a Christian, you know, a Christian has to gather to the church, and the church has to say, we want to see Jesus in a way that we'll function as the bride of Christ. And so then they begin to do that, and then that spirit begins to be there, and then it seems like, you know, the bride's focus is only on Jesus, and then Jesus begins to put into her his view of the Father, and then she begins to join with him and, you know, yes, go after his heart to please him. It's a beautiful order, but there's nobody that can truly communicate these things. There has to be that place in our heart that we begin to make room for him. We begin to say, this is bigger than me. This is more glorious than anything that I could ever want. I'm asking you, Father, to release the Holy Spirit to his most precious ministry, to reveal the Son in me. How that looks, I don't care, but I'll know it when my spirit starts crying, Abba, Father, that the Son is truly there, because that's where he goes. See? Does that make sense? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time and hearts that so long after you, and a group of people that, Lord, we don't care about anything else. We're not trying to build something in the earth. We're trying to be built into a habitation for you. And except you build that house, we labor in vain. So that's why we humble, we cry, we reach out, we long after you. All those things hit us at different times, and we want to be more than just secular Christians on this earth. We want to experience something of eternity, so that when we step into eternity, it won't be all unfamiliar, but it'll be exactly what we've been experiencing now. Just a step in there, just a step away. We thank you. We thank you, Father. Allow the Holy Spirit to lift up Christ. We don't even have to pray. Allow us to know you, Father. We pray, allow the Holy Spirit to lift up Christ and reveal him in us, and we shall know you. That will come in its time. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, just real quick, if y'all don't mind.